If you have your Bible, turn with us to Luke chapter 14 this morning. Luke chapter 14, we want to begin reading this morning, verse 16. Luke 14 and 16, and the Bible says this, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." As I look at this morning in the Word of God, and we can see how the Bible says there was a certain man that made a great supper. I want to say, youngins, today, that the table's been spread. There's a table been spread, a table of glory and delight. All we got to do is choose to pull up to the table and receive that that God's got for us. I want to say there's a feast and a banquet that God's got for His people. But if we don't pull up and sup, we'll not be filled. But praise be to God. God gives us the ability. And God gives us the help, praise God, to draw up and just draw up to the table and sup with Him and Him with us. Amen. Glory be to God. He's nothing like feasting off the table of God. Amen. Getting that God's got for you. Praise be to God. That stirs not only your appetite, but it stirs your soul. It gives you that you need. It encourages your heart for the journey, and it helps you along your way. But we can see this great supper was set, and they was bidden to come. The servant went out and he began to bid that they come to the supper. He said the supper was ready. His supper's now ready. I want to say, youngins, young and old alike, the supper's ready. The table's set, and God's bidding you to come unto Him. Come and get that He's got for you. Come and get help that you can't get in the world. He's got a table that's full of what you need. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know my need. I may not know, but praise be to God this morning, He does. He knows just exactly what you need, and praise God, He's got on that table exactly that'll satisfy that need. Amen. Amen. But we can see some things that take place. Now this is kind of, well, I got to looking at this, and we've looked at this kind of a little bit before, but I want to look at it again kind of in a different aspect. We see God working in a mighty and a miraculous way, even to the saving of souls. God goes out in the highways and the hedges, and He compels them to come in. I want to say today, on the authority of the Word of God, Brother Scott, He's still doing it today. He's still going out, and He's compelling them to come in. But He begins to go out. That supper's been said. Now that supper's a supper of salvation. Salvation's done been offered. Amen. The price of the groceries, glory be to God, that it will partake as the price of Jesus' blood. It's done been shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, or for every man, woman, boy, and girl in this United States of America and throughout the world. Praise God, the supper's been bought. It's been set, and we've got to just pull up and receive that's been paid for. It's already been said several times this morning that we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And He paid a debt that He didn't owe. That was the price of that supper of salvation that me and you have today. But as I was looking at this, I began to think, just as soon as the call was made that supper's ready, people begin to make excuses. And the Bible says, and they with one consent begin to make excuses. I want to say today, in the world that we live in, I've never heard such a time of people making excuses. We got excuse for everything. We've got an excuse for this. We got an excuse for that. We got an excuse for being late for work. We've got an excuse for being this and that and the other. Praise God. We're just full of excuses. What happened to the old time way when people would just do what needed to be done? What happened to the old time way when people would just get in and get involved? What happened to that day? What happened to that hour? But we see here in the Word of God that they begin to make excuses one after another. You say, well, preacher, we don't do it. We do that today. I believe us, the fundamental independent Bible-believing people, I praise God, are full of excuses. We've got excuse for everything in the world. And when God begins to deal with our heart, God begins to point us in direction. God begins to desire to use us. Praise God, if we ain't covered, we begin to make excuses. We begin to make excuses why we can't. Amen. Well, I wonder what we'd do if we begin to look at why we can. Amen. Why we can do this. What's the reason I can't do that? Amen. Praise be to God. But he said they begin to make excuses in one consent. Amen. They all begin to come together and say, hey, listen, I can't do it. One of them said, well, I can't do it either. One of them said, well, I ain't able to do it. Amen. We'll get the preacher to do it. He ain't got nothing to do. We'll let the preacher do it. Amen. We'll get old brother Bill to do it. He ain't got nothing. He can take care of that. Amen. We make excuses and we'll pull it upon it off on somebody else. That's the way we are. Amen. We make excuses, but they begin to make excuses. And now the first one, he come up and he made excuses. He said, hey, I can't do it because I've got some possessions. I've got some land I got to check out. I've got some possessions that I own. And praise God, I've got to take care of. Amen. That's the way most of us, you know, preacher, I've got a lot of stuff that I've got to take care of. Amen. I've got some land. I got a house. Praise God. I got all this stuff that I've got to take care of. I've got so many possessions. Praise God. I just don't have time to serve the Lord. I don't have time to seek the God. Lord, I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to get involved. I don't have time because, hey, I've got possessions. Where do you think those possessions come from? It's blessings of the Lord. Don't you think it's time that we quit making excuses, got down to the house of God, and begin to praise Him for the possessions that we have? Thank Him for what He's been so gracious to give us. Hey, glory be to God. If God begin to give you stuff, if God's given you stuff, praise God, Lord, be at the house, Lord, thanking Him for what He give us. Now, I ain't against you having stuff. I wish God just bless you with all kind of stuff. Amen. Praise the Lord, just give you the desire of your heart. But praise God, I don't want you to put that before the Lord. Amen. If you got possession, praise God, don't make excuses to keep it from doing the will of God because you got stuff. Because you've got possessions. This fellow said, I'm just loaded down with blessings from the Lord. And because I've got all these blessings, I just can't go and serve God. God help. Man, we got our thinking, our theologies. We got everything upside down. Praise the Lord. We need to get back to God. You know why we had to, used to be a better day, why we could worship the Lord, why we could come together as churches and families, and why we could worship the Lord the way we used to worship. Because we didn't put our emphasis on our possessions. That's because most people didn't have much. But God's blessed us and blessed us. Praise God, now we put all our emphasis on our possessions. Simple preacher, I'd like to come to church on Wednesday night, but I've got so much yard I got to keep up. My house, I've got a lot of upkeep. Praise God, I'd sell it and buy me a shack by the road. Amen. Amen, if it kept me from serving the Lord, from doing that that's right. Praise the Lord. God, I'd get rid of those possessions that's hindering me and the work that God wants me to do. Amen. You say amen or oh me. Praise the Lord. We can't put possessions in front of the Lord. But that's what we do. We make excuses because we got possessions. And then this other fella, he comes along, he says, well, I can't go either because I've got a job. Hey, but I've got a job and I've got to be faithful to my job. I've got a lot of things. I've got a lot of responsibility down there at the workplace. They count on me all the time and I've got to put my emphasis and all my attention into my job. I've got to focus on what they got me for me to do down there at the job place. Ain't that what he did? He said, I've got 5 yoke oxen. I've got to prove them. He said, I've got a job to do. I've got work to do. I've got to keep my emphasis in the right place. I've got to keep my focus in the right place. Amen. Amen, oh me. He said, preacher, you're preaching right at me. Praise God. I didn't know who would be here today. Amen. Glory be to God. But God did. Oh, what's your emphasis today? What are you putting your focus in? Amen. Glory be to God. He said, listen, hey. He said, if you got your focus on the job and making excuses, praise God, you ought to be down at the house of God praising God in the day in the environment with Him for the job we got. Amen. 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 There's a lot of folks ain't got one now. And it's going to get worse before it gets any better. Economy's about to fall out of sight. Praise God, jobs are just falling away. And praise God, if you got one, you ought to praise God for it. because you're blessed. But if we use our job as an excuse, if we use our job to keep us from worshiping the Lord, if we say, listen, but I've got so much to do at the job place. I've got my emphasis, my focus on the job. Well, we got our priorities upside. You've got your priorities upside down. Friend, you've got them upside down. If you put your priority jump, you praise God, it ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be in the church. It ought to be in the things of God. It ought to be in serving a holy God. That should be our emphasis. Amen. But today we've flip-flopped it. We've got it on everything but the Lord. Our priorities ain't right. Amen. We ought to have our priorities right. I can't pull up the table. I can't sup with the master because I've got my priorities out of whack. That's what he ought to said. He ought to made excuses. He ought to said, hey, listen, I've got my priorities out of whack. I just can't say, hey, man, I've got possessions and I've got a job I've got to look after. And so I just can't do that because I've got my priorities upside down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't this a shouting message? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's what we need, though. Praise God. We got our priorities in the wrong place. This thing's, in case you haven't noticed, we're getting close to the finish line. The race is almost run. The Holy Ghost of God and the crowds of glory are cheering us on. They're saying, fight a good fight and keep the faith. Keep on going for the Lord. Praise God. And what are we doing? We're making excuses. Every excuse in the world to keep us out of God's house. Every excuse in the world to keep us from serving a holy God. Amen. So he made excuses about his possession. The other one made excuses about his job. And then here's the one I really like. This old fellow said, well, I'd go down there that supper, but I've married me a wife. I've got old Betty Lou, and I gotta be there with Betty Lou every minute. Amen. My focus is on my wife. That's a blessing. Amen, to have a good wife. And it's a good thing to focus on your wife. But I want to say, if you focus on your wife and you make her a priority over God, then you've started out your marriage on the wrong foot anyway. Amen. Amen. You ask Amanda and Greg and Tiffany and Justin when we met with their marriage counselor. I drove it in their head. I said, your main focus is not to be on one another. Your main focus is to be on the Lord Jesus Christ and commitment to Him. And if you'll commit to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll commit to Him and Him alone, praise God, then you can have a commitment to that husband and that wife. Amen. The wrong thing, a problem with us today in our churches and everything else is because we haven't made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to make a commitment to God and then we can commit to everything else. Amen. He said, well, preacher, what about my possessions? What about my job? What about my wife? What about them? Commit them to the Lord and the Lord will take care of it for you. Amen. Amen. You'd be surprised how much you'll be able to pull back when you let God take control. Amen. God will begin to help you, minister to you, and minister for you, and to guide you and to lead you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake and give you that you need. Amen. You won't have to work so hard for it. Amen. It'll be more of a pleasure. See, if we ain't careful, we get caught up in things and our possessions and our job and our families. And let me just talk to you men for a minute. Our family is your priority to be the spiritual leader of your household. Amen. You're to be the spiritual leader of your household. That's your job in that family. Amen. That is your job. That should be your focus. How are you going to do that? By committing yourself to the Lord. When you commit yourself to the Lord, then God can really help you to be that spiritual leader that you need to be. But without that commitment to Him, you can't be that you need to be. And when you can't be that you need to be, guess what? Your family won't be that it needs to be. Amen. Am I not preaching it right? I'm still in the book. Amen. Praise God. I know sometimes the truth hurts, but I want to say the glory be to God. That truth will set you free. Amen. I mean, it'll set you free from the burdens we have. It'll set you free from that load that we carry. If we just quit making excuses. Amen. But he said, hey, listen, I've got possessions. He said, I've got a job. And I said, well, I've got a wife. And praise God. The Lord said, hey, listen, said, if you'll just commit all that to me. And just come sup and dine with me. He said, I'll satisfy you. I'll fill your table. I'll fill your cup to running over. Amen. God, you'll flourish in the Lord. He said, preacher, your way. You're preaching that health and wealth. No, I'm preaching a commitment to a holy God. Amen. Amen. So when the recession and depression comes, praise God, we'll have that wherewith to stand, praise God, for the Lord. And having done all to stand because we've put our emphasis in the right place. God said He'd never see the righteous forsaken or His seed a begging bread. But I wonder today, are we the seed of God? You say, well, preacher, how do I know? Because if you are, you've committed to Him. You've made that commitment to the Lord. Amen. If you're a child of God, you've made a commitment. I wonder how many of us have made that commitment. How many of you have made that commitment? Amen. Quit making excuses and make that commitment. A commitment to the Lord. Amen. Because it grieves the heart of God. He set a table. He set a banquet. Not only for you, but praise God for the whole family. He said, just pull you up. Praise God. Pull you up a chair. Just sit and dine. Come to the table. Praise the Lord. But you know what? We've got families. We've got young'uns. We've got people that's out in the world, lost and undone without God. Amen. They focused on the wrong thing. Why? You say, preacher, I don't. People come to me all the time. They say, preacher, I don't understand why my young'uns is going this way. Because our focus is wrong. Amen. Our focus, I'll tell on myself. It was a time in my life that my focus wasn't right. Amen. And it's cost me. It hurt my young'uns. Amen. Because their focus ain't what it ought to be. And I've had to go back and I've had to sit down with them. I've had to apologize. Say, young'uns, I'm sorry. But your daddy done it wrong. I messed up. My focus wasn't right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, it's time to get our focus right. It's time to get our attention back on the Lord. It's time to do this thing right. To make the commitment to do right. To quit making excuses. Amen. And just follow the Lord. Do that that's right. But the servant, he said, in verse 21, he said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. He said, Lord, I went out and done what you said. I went and bid them to come. And said, they said, hey, listen, he said, every one of them had excuses. He said, they had excuses, they had the possessions, they had a job. Said one of them, said he even had a wife. And said, they said they couldn't come. He said, I tried to get them. He said, then the master of the house being angry. Amen. Now, why would the master of the house be so angry? Because he knew that they was missing this great opportunity. Amen. He knew that they was missing this magnificent opportunity to get in and to dine with the Lord. To dine with the Master. To get that they needed to nourish them heart, mind, soul, and body. He said, why would they want to miss out on that? And it stirred God's heart. Amen. But listen to what he says. He said unto his servant, go out quickly. Now notice the urgency here. The urgency. He said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Now get this. He said, all right. He said, if they won't accept it, if they don't want it, he said, go out quickly. Go out into the streets, those thoroughfares of the city. He said, go to the main streets and come, go out there and tell them to come and dine, to come to supper's ready. And he said, don't just go in the streets. He said, but go into those alleys too. To go into those side streets and compel them to come in. Go out there in them side streets and say, hey, listen, the supper's ready. Come and dine. Amen. And now listen to what he says. He don't just sell them. He knows who he says to get. He said, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Amen. Why do you think he said to go out and get the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind? He said, hey, listen. He said, if they're going to be that way, he said, go out and get those that won't be so easily distracted. Amen? He said, go out and get that poor man. That man that don't have all the possessions. That don't have all these possessions to hinder him in this life. He said, go out and get him and tell him there's a feast from the king that's been set for him. And praise God, that poor man will come and dine. Amen. He'll come and get that that God's got for him. You know what's wrong with the United States of America? We're too blessed. Amen. When it gets back to the time that we got to pray in every meal, praise God, we'll get back to God. But why do we want to wait till then? Praise God, let's do it today. Praise God. So God can continue to help us and feed us and nourish us from His mighty hand. Glory be to God. He can uplift us and encourage us in the day that we live. Amen. He said, if America, it's so rich, won't come to me, he said, I'll go get the poor. Why do you think over in the Philippines and these other places that people's flocking to the house of God and they're getting help by the thousands? In China, they're getting saved by the thousands and the ten thousands because they're poor, they're beat down. And praise God, they say it's a something better.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He said, you go get those that's poor, those that don't have all the possessions. And he said, and while you're out there getting them, he said, get those that's maimed and those that's halt. He said, get those that's crippled and those that ain't able to get around. Amen. Because they won't have to be worried so much about that job. They won't have to be worried so much about falling after those oxen. Amen. Their focus ain't on trying to get a job done. Their focus will be on what they need. And praise God, when you tell them that the supper's set, when you tell them that the supper's ready, praise God, they'll run to the they'll get somebody to carry them to the table.
Amen.
They'll get to where the Lord is so they can get that help that they've never had before. Amen. And he said, go out there and get that one that's blind. He said, while you're getting that poor and that maimed and halt, he said, get that fella that's blind too. Amen. Bring that one with you. That fella probably ain't married, ain't hooked up, ain't got all that baggage on him. He said, I guarantee you that old blind man, he's never seen the worldly things and he's never had a touch of the world on him. Praise be to God, I bet he'll come. That old blind man ain't never had nothing. He's just groped around in this world in darkness. Praise God, tell him that the master, praise God, that he set a table. And he said, it's been, glory to God, that the table's ready. It's set. And it's been, and everything's been made ready. And all he's got to do is come and dine. He said, that old blind man will come. Amen. That old blind man that ain't hindered by the things of the world, he'll come and dine with God. Amen. That one that's never had the benefits of seeing all the splendor of the world. Amen. He said he'll come and dine. He'll pull up the table. Amen. Glory be God. He'll get in. He'll get involved. That blind man will. Amen. And then the Bible says that the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. He said, Lord, I've done just exactly what you commanded. I've went out into the streets and I've went out into the lanes and said, I've compelled them all to come in. The blind and the halt and the maimed and the poor said that we've got them all in. And he said, but you know what? He said, and yet there is room. He said, hey, there's a place for everybody at the table.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
There's a place for each and every one of you at the table of God. But you know what we're doing? We're snubbing our nose up at it and saying, well, I don't want that. I don't want what God's got for me. I'm going with what I can do and what I know. And God said, I love you. I care for you. And I want you to just pull up to my table and let me just take care of you. Let me feed you. Let me nourish you. Let me just love on you. Amen. But we push him back. Why? Because we can't make that commitment. Amen. We won't step out on faith and say, hey, Lord, here I am. I'm just like that old poor man. Amen. His possessions don't mean much to me. Amen. I got a little old shack on the hill. Lord's blessed me with. You know, there's so many people today that's trying to keep up with the Joneses. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, they'll get them a nice little house in 6 or 8 years. And you know what? What we got nowadays, we say, well, we'll get us a starter home. Amen. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Said, we'll get us a starter home and we'll make payments on that for 30 years. And bless God, when we finally get that paid off, then we'll build us that mansion we've always wanted. With what? You've been spending all your money for 30 years on that starter home. Amen. You know, I'm telling it right. We want to keep up with the Joneses. Amen. We want to keep up with Joneses. So we put a lot of emphasis in the things, our possessions. And then we work in jobs just like one thing to try to just make them ends meet and pay those bills. Amen. And then we get those, then we the Lord blesses us and we're paying our bills and then we got to go out and say, well, you know that old boy I work with, he got him one of them brand new Mercedes cars. Amen, a nice one. And so, honey, we got to go down there to the dealership, got to trade in our old Toyota Camry, and we got to get us one of them Mercedes cars. Because we got to keep up with the junk. We got to keep up appearances, you know. So we work our fingers to the bone, and we'll get that. We'll make that house payment. We'll pay on that Mercedes. And then old Joe Blow, he comes along, and he's got him a brand new bass boat. Oh, he's a looking good. go down there to the lake and you can see him. Praise God, his hair's blowing through his hair. He looks so cool. Amen. Saints said, I've got to get me one of them bass boats. But I ain't going to get one like old Joe. I'm going to get me one a little nicer. I'm going to show him up. Ain't that the way we do? I'm talking about Americans today. I'm talking about us if we ain't very careful. And then we got another payment. And then the next thing you know, we get so stressed out. Praise God that we're just on the verge of committing suicide. Amen? Don't know what to do. Don't know what to do with ourselves. Don't know how to make ends meet. We get so stressed out. And you know, first thing we do, we quit church. Amen? And first thing we do, we quit tithing. Well, I can't afford to give that much money to God. Why, he's blessed you with it. Hadn't been for God, you wouldn't have that house, you wouldn't have that boat, and you wouldn't have that car. Amen. You couldn't make a payment because you wouldn't have that job. Amen. See what I'm saying, young? We got our priorities all upside down. We got to get our priorities right back right. We got to get our focus back on a holy God because he's the one that can help us. And the Lord says, hey, listen. He said, I went out. He said, there's room yet for some to get in. There's plenty of room to get in. And now listen now, Lord. Now this is grace right here. He said, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. He said, all right. So now let me tell you what I want you to do. He said, now you can see this in a reference to Israel. I know that's what he's talking about. He goes into the nation of Israel. Israel rejects him. They refuse him. But it also it goes to us. Amen. Praise God, it goes to us too. Amen. If we reject God. But he said, you've went into the streets. You've went into the alleyways. He said, now I want you to go out in the highways of the world. Amen. Just go all over the land. Praise God. Wherever people are. He said, I want you to compel them to come in. He said, I don't want you to even, and don't even just go into the highway. He said, I want you to go into the hedges too. Those things that's a hedged about. He said, I want you to go, glory to God. He said, I want you to go house to house. Amen. I want you to compel them to come in. Whatever it takes, you got to tell them about the love of God. You got to tell them about this hope. You got to tell them about some assurance. You got to tell them about some love of God that'll help them in their time of need. You got to tell them from your heart about the love of God so that they'll get in. That's compelling. Whatever it takes to get them in so that they'll come in and sup and dine. He said, the table's set. The table's set. He said, have them come and dine. Amen. Listen, he said, go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Now, why did he say that? That my house may be filled. Now, that filled means to fill full. You get that? That word filled means to fill full. God says, I've got the places already set for each and every one that needs to come. He said, that whosoever, he said, I've got the places already set. He said, but will you come and dine? He said, go tell them, compel them, whatever it takes. Tell them that their place is set at the table. Amen. Their place is reserved. And they just need to come and fill that seat. But you know what? We'll push God back and we'll say, well, Lord, you know what we're doing? We're being disobedient to God. Because he said, I want my house to be full. You know what God wants for his place? He wants his house to be full. He wants us to go out and compel old sinners to come in because there's a place for them at the table. Amen? It's our job. It's our responsibility as children of God to go out and compel them to come in, to get them in. Amen? Where they can get that help, where they can pull up to the table. It's our responsibility because he said, I want my house to be full, to fill it up. Amen. For my glory. He said, I want to reach out and touch each and every one. He said, I want to give that help where help's needed. He said, but you've got to be willing to come and get that I've got for you. He said, I won't force you to take it. Amen. God's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. He said, I won't force you to take it. I won't force you to quit making excuses. I won't force you. He said, but I've got blessings for you that I've poured out for you. He said, I've got mercy and grace and all these things to bestow upon you if you'll just come to the table. He said, the table said, he said, it's already. He said, it's just up to you to come. He said, will you come? He said, tell them to come. Compel them to come. That's what the Lord's doing today. He's compelling us to come. To pull up to the table and say, God, what have you got for me? We go through so many trials and heartaches and things in this world, so many temptations. I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because God's trying to get our attention and say, you can't quit. You can't keep doing this by yourself. When are you going to trust in me? When are you going to let me help you? I've got grace and mercy to bestow. But why won't you pull up to the table? He was going in the streets and the lanes. He went in the highways and the hedges. Holy Ghost of God's moving across this land. And I tell you, there's some folks that's pulling up the table. There's some folks saying, there's a table spread for me. And they say, how do I get it? How do I get to my place, the table? He said, oh, it's through the blood of Jesus. Just accept the Lord Jesus, make Him your Lord and your Savior, the master of your life, your sheep, chief shepherd. And praise God, you'll have that place, the table. He said it. Praise the Lord. And you know, I don't know about you, but I believe there's a time coming. Glory be to God when we're going to pull up the table. The Bible says He's going to gird Himself and He's going to begin to serve us. Amen. We're going to sup from the table of God. I believe we're going to sup from Brother Bill for about 1,000 years. Amen. Through the whole millennial reign, praise God, I believe we're going to sup from the table of God. God's going to give us that. And praise God, that'll just only be the beginning. Amen. We've got all eternity to sup from the table of God. But I want to say today that we can't sup from the table of God if we don't pull up the table. It's our responsibility today, church, to pull up to the table of God, to pull up and be partakers, ready for that feast. Listen, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, amen, there's a place for you at the table. But what we got to do, we got to quit making excuses. We got to quit making excuses and say, Lord, I just want my portion. What do you need me to do? What do you have me to be, Lord? Yes. Why? Because we need to make that commitment to Him. That commitment to Him, and we can have a commitment to our families, have a commitment to our life, have a commitment to our church, and have a kind of life that God's pleased with. There's some folks that's been getting in. There's some folks that's partaking in this. Amen, boy, you can just see the glow on you. Amen, you can just see God just glowing on you, filling you up. I mean, just joy in your heart just to be able to reach out and touch a brother and sister. Amen, somebody that's got a need. Amen, Lord, we've been seeing it here lately. People just step out on purpose and just begin to touch other people. Amen, why? Because you're supping from the table. From a table of God, and praise God, when you get the supping from His table, glory be to God, you get some something that's so good, Brother Kevin, that you want to pice it out a little at a time as you go. You want to give it out a little bit here and there, so other folks can get in on what you've been getting. Amen. But the only way you can have that, youngins, as you stand with me, only way we can have that today is just quit making excuses. We got to quit making excuses. We got to pull up the table and say, Lord, here I am. Without excuse. Lord, I want my portion. I want my portion that You've got for me. I don't want to be left out. I want to be that You'd have me to be. Whether it be that mama, that daddy, that grandma, that grandpa, that boy, that girl. Lord, I want to be what You'd have me to be. I want to draw close. I want to have that relationship. And I want to be partakers in that You've got for me. See, it's an individual thing today. What God's got for us. But we have to quit making excuses and come to the table.